So I have here a little nativity set that I was given when I visited friends in Bolivia. You've seen it, it's in the welcome slide right at the start. It brings Jesus into the culture of the local people, as if Jesus was born amongst the Amaran people, the indigenous people of that area, because Jesus came for all people. So here we have, this is a little Amaran Joseph and a little Amaran Mary with her traditional hat. Put them down there. We have a little Amaran baby Jesus with the alpaca wool ear flap hat, the traditional little hat that he's got. Right, we have these wise people, the wise men, riding on alpaca, which actually come from the same, they are the same family scientifically as camels, so that's appropriate, holding their gifts. And we even have some little llamas or yama for the yama farmer, the llama farmers to farm, but there were no shepherds. And the shepherds are my favourite characters, other than baby Jesus, obviously. Other than baby Jesus, the shepherds are my favourite character in the Christmas story. And there were no shepherds. So we went back around the markets with this little set so that I can try and find a match and get some shepherds for it. And in my limited Spanish, I was saying, ¿Dónde los pastores? Where? Apparently that's just where the shepherds. They got the idea. ¿Dónde los pastores? Where are the shepherds? And they kept pointing to this guy, these guys. And like, no, but there are, I didn't say this, but I was thinking, there are three of them. The Bible doesn't actually tell us how many wise men there were, but there were three gifts. There are three of them. They're carrying gifts and riding camelids. These are meant to be the wise men. Where are the shepherds? Eventually I found someone who was willing to split a different set and give me some shepherds. They are a little bit different than the others, but at least I have someone to look after the llamas in my little nativity set, because the shepherds are my favourite, and we will come back to that. We're in the third week of Advent, and the theme for this week is the story of shepherds and the story of joy. And I just noticed some of the various things that people have brought. Joanne's got Christmas trees and things in there for you. Doreen, your amazing nativity set here. Two bunches of flour. We've got some joy going on around us as well in the appearance of what we can see. So the theme is joy, but before we get going on that, I'd like to look at a couple of definitions. Happiness and joy, because they're not the same. So, it's going to get there eventually. Brené Brown, the researcher that we've heard of before, she researches emotion and connection. She researches in a secular institute. She happens also to be a Christian. Has written a book in which she's trying to give people language to talk about what's going on in their lives so that they can form good connections. She defines happiness as a feeling of pleasure often related to the immediate environment or current circumstances. Happiness is about the environment, circumstances, things that are going on. Some of you will know that parts of the Bible were originally written in Greek. And in the Greek language, the word for happiness is much the same. Happiness is what happens in the Greek thinking when someone has sufficient wealth or good fortune that they're free from the ordinary worries and cares of life. It's about circumstances, good fortune, as the Greeks would put it, which means you don't have to worry. That's happiness. Joy is defined by Brené Brown as an intense feeling of deep spiritual connection, pleasure, and appreciation. Joy is actually quite different. It doesn't depend on circumstances. That is a significant difference. Notice that joy is not about the circumstances. It is about a sense of connection. It's connection with God or with others or with God's creation. Notice it's about appreciation. It is about gratitude. There is a strong link between joy and gratitude. And joy expands our thinking. It opens our mind to more than just what we're seeing immediately. Once again, the Greek word for joy does something similar. It talks about in Greek thinking the good mood of the soul, but that joy is something that only comes about through virtue and wisdom. It is not a beginner's virtue or a beginner's quality. It takes time. It is a culmination of other things to receive joy. And in Greek thinking, the opposite of joy is not sadness, but fear. It's interesting. Joy is not a beginner's virtue. It is a culmination of wisdom and experience and virtue. Interesting to think about. We're going to talk about that more as we go. But now we're going to turn to our passage for today. This is a picture of a shepherd with some sheep in the hills near Bethlehem, trying to give us a little bit of an idea of what this might have looked like. So Luke chapter 2 begins with a simple description. It's almost astounding in its simplicity, description of Jesus' birth. This miraculous event when God takes on a nature that is not God's own in the incarnation and becomes human with us, just describes simply, Jesus was born to Mary, wrapped in cloths, placed in a manger. And the next thing we hear in Luke's gospel is that we are nearby in the fields and there are shepherds. Shepherds of Jesus' time were humble people, probably a bit smelly as well. They worked long hours. They worked out in the fields, often overnight, because they had to take care of the sheep overnight and protect them from wild animals or from theft. It was hard working. You couldn't be too attached to your creature comforts if you were a shepherd. You had to be willing to put in the hard yards. You needed honesty and integrity to look after these sheep, and courage. And the flocks were not as large as in New Zealand flocks. Shepherds really did know each sheep by name, and they have since done research in shepherd situations that are similar in the Middle East with small flocks, and they literally recognise the voice of the shepherd. Even if someone dresses up in the clothes so they look the same, smell the same, and tries to say the same thing, the sheep don't respond. They know their shepherd. There is a relationship there. So the shepherds are humble and hardworking. They're not wealthy. They're not powerful. They don't have high social status. And as we've said, they cannot be comfort-seeking people to live the lifestyle that they do. And they're my favourite characters, other than Jesus, because it is to these humble, ordinary folk that God chooses to first reveal the birth of the Messiah. Not the people in positions of power. It is to the humble neighbours that he chooses to tell this news. So we are told that an angel came amongst them, arrived, appeared. We don't quite know how. They suddenly were aware of an angel. And I wonder what you imagine that to look like. This is a cartoon depiction, probably quite inaccurate because it looks cute. And we're told that they were terrified. This is another depiction, a different way of presenting an angel as a person surrounded by this glory, but without that kind of cartoony wings. I wonder if this would have been even more frightening if this is what they saw. The similarity to a human, but clearly not a person. Or another depiction of the angel above with wings and those poor shepherds there looking stunned and almost blinded, but frightened. It does give us a clue when an angel appeared to Zechariah or to Mary or to the shepherds or at other times in Scripture. Quite often the first thing the angel says is, don't be afraid, which gives you an idea of the likely response. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Good news of great joy. And the word here is not happiness. It's not about health, wealth, power, status, success. This is news of great joy. We've said that joy is about connection. It's linked to gratitude. It's only experienced by the cultivation of wisdom and virtue. And these shepherds had been part of a people who had had God's law for around 1,500 years. They'd had centuries as a culture of being shaped and even disciplined by God's law, of exposure to the wisdom literature that is in Scripture. And they were humble. And they were able to receive the joy of this message. This angel said, I bring you good news of great joy. It's for all people. Again, joy is something that expands our thinking. It's not inclining us to selfishness. It expands our thinking, which is what this angel's message does. And the message, the angel then said, is to you, and this is to you plural. It is not merely to you individually. To you, to all people, God has given this remarkably generous gift. A gift has been given. And the city of David, and those shepherds, knowing that city nearby is where David was born. The Messiah is predicted to come from the line of David. In the city of David, there is a saviour, and they're thinking, oh yes, there are Old Testament prophecies about a helper, about one who is coming to help us. He is the Messiah, said the angels, a Davidic leader that has been promised. Who is the Lord? That's another step, God's presence amongst us. The shepherds had the context to understand the deeper meaning of each of those statements that the angels brought. And then the angel said, a few practicalities. This is where you can find him, if you're looking. And then a heavenly host appeared. And if one angel was terrifying, what was this like? A whole host of angels singing and praising God. That must have been something they never forgot. And let's notice as well, the word host is related to the word for an army. It's a spiritual battle. There's something more going on here, but these angels are proclaiming worship to God and for his generosity and kindness and mercy and faithfulness and love for people. This experience must have changed the shepherds' lives. And I don't just think in the way of a memory that they wouldn't forget. It must have changed their lives as in transforming them. This encounter with a messenger directly from the Lord like this. The shepherds were humble. They were shaped by the wisdom of the Old Testament. They were able to see the significance of this message. They followed the instructions. It transformed them. They needed to do something. They needed to see more. They wanted more of this. And they went to see, and they told everyone who would listen. They couldn't stop talking, and they couldn't stop praising God for his goodness and his willingness to come to them. The shepherds are my favourite in this story, other than the baby Jesus, because God first brings this good news to humble, ordinary folk, and it seems to me that their very humility is what enabled them to receive this news with such joy. Because consider the contrast. Herod, who could tick all those boxes of the things that should make you happy. Wealth, power, status, success, health. Every pleasure he could afford. His reaction on hearing this news was jealousy and rage and desire to kill a baby. The same news, different response. And throughout Jesus' life, we see that the self-righteous and the proud and the self-sufficient, they didn't receive from Jesus, and they weren't able to receive his message of joy. And even now, it is worth thinking that the Pharisees are not just some other person, but to be alert to those qualities in ourselves. Because we want to be able to receive the joy that our Lord wants to give us. So I have a few reflections on this passage. The first is, God told the neighbours. When this birth happened, when Jesus was born, this amazing situation, God told the neighbours. And we're going to too. Because we've got those flyers and we want to sing in our neighbourhood. God told the neighbours and we can too. My second reflection is that the humility of the shepherds, I've already said this, but the humility of the shepherds meant they were able to receive the joy of this message. There is a link between joy and gratitude. The evidence is that the more people practice gratitude, make a habit of gratitude, the more likely you are to experience moments of joy. And the more that someone has a sense of joy in their life, the more likely they are to be grateful. There's a positive reinforcement. It's a good thing. And I would think most of us would quite like more joy in our lives. So we have a brief reflection on this as what would stand in the way and what might help. Things that stand in the way of joy, things that can destroy joy. The first is entitlement. Sense that you are owed. Yeah, selfishness. Thank you, Robin. Yeah. A sense that you are owed something doesn't foster gratitude, doesn't foster joy. Any form of jealousy or comparison. Any form of jealousy or comparison does not foster gratitude and it does not foster joy. Resentment or unforgiveness can stand in the way, massive roadblocks. And a habit of complaining or criticizing doesn't foster gratitude, doesn't foster joy. Some things to watch out for. On the upside, joy is cultivated by humility, that wonderful quality, which is also closely linked to gratitude. And as a society, humility is not sitting around feeling bad about yourself. That's not humility. Quite like the statement, humility is not thinking less of yourself, as in being down on yourself. Humility is simply thinking of yourself less often. Humility is a freedom. Humility cultivates joy, as does gratitude. We've already heard that. Closely linked. Even in the definition of joy, is appreciation, gratitude. Growing in relationship with God cultivates joy, because joy is about deep connection, spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word, letting it not just
gloss over you, or won't move past you, but transform us. Being transformed by the word, as the Greek definition had it, wisdom and virtue are required for receiving joy. Growing in relationship with the Lord, letting it transform us. Being still before the Lord. Letting those buzzing, anxious thoughts or the sense of control or the busyness settle down. Saying, be still before the Lord. The psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. Coming and resting in his presence creates space for joy to be cultivated. And my last point here may be counterintuitive, but worshipping God even through suffering. Joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness would get in the way of this. It would be hard if we were talking about happiness. But choosing to worship and honour the Lord, to praise him, to praise God's goodness and love, to thank him for his gifts of eternal life, worshipping and praising God in a hard space is a profound garden for growing joy. Not an easy one, but it is profound. And my final reflection this morning is that this joyful news is for us. We have a reason for joy. God, in his extraordinary self-giving generosity, came to us in the second person of the Trinity, was born a tiny, vulnerable baby, and lived amongst us as one of us. God, in his self-giving love and mercy and grace and kindness and faithfulness and generosity, has come amongst us to bring deep peace, to restore relationship with God. And joy is about deep connection. Christ has come, and he has come to bring us joy. And that is good news. Let us pray.